joke, Chad. Well, good morning to each one of you. I want to welcome you here also. If you recall, 2 weeks ago, we talked about baptism. And I've titled my message this morning, Baptism Part 2. Now, I want to make sure that I clarify what I'm talking about here this morning, because we're not going to talk a whole lot about baptism this morning. But to connect 2 weeks ago, connect that message to today, we're just calling it Baptism Part 2. So I'd invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew 28. So I told you 2 weeks ago also that I'm going to be talking about baptism of the Spirit. I want to back up on that one. We're not going to be talking about that this morning specifically. So the title this morning, or the idea this morning, things that we want to look at, I have put that down here as baptism. Hang on just a second. Okay. Does the Bible teach formal church membership at baptism? That was a question that came up. So that's a question that all of a sudden our ears perk up a little bit, don't they? Because we like to know how do they tie together? Do they tie together? See if this guy works or not. It does. Thank you. Does the Bible teach formal church membership at baptism? And I want to clarify something this morning before we get into this. When I'm talking today about church membership, I'm going to be talking about formal church membership. When I talk about formal church membership, if you remember not too long ago, we took in a couple members. And whether we do that after baptism or when somebody comes into our congregation, they want to be a part of the congregation, normally we have them stand and we'll ask them some questions, and then we invite them in as members of the body of Christ here. Not members of the body of Christ as a larger church. That happens at the new birth. When you're born again, you have the Spirit within you. You are a part of the greater body of Christ. When we get to heaven, I don't think Calvary Chapel is going to be a separate part in the kingdom of heaven. We are all going to be part of the body of Christ. So that's where I'm coming from this morning when I talk about membership this morning, talking about formal membership. So I have a couple verses here. I'm going to back up a little bit here. A couple verses here that I've got listed that I'd like to read this morning. And these verses are verses that I had used before, and I'm going to bring these back again closer to the end of our message this morning. Matthew 28:18, if you're there in your Bibles, we're just going to read those really quick. 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So does the Bible teach formal church membership? As we look at Scripture from time to time, there's times where we start digging and all of a sudden it seems like it's just not quite making sense. And as we continue to dig, we find out that there are principles in Scripture that help us to understand what the context is talking about. What is a principle? So let's talk about that for a little bit. A principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior, or for a chain of reasoning. Let me read that again. A fundamental truth or proposition that serves as a foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. So putting that into my own words, in other words, a principle is a truth that is implied. It may not be stated as a law or command, but in a chain or connection of scriptures, we find clarity in what is being taught. Does that make sense to you? That's a principle. I worked for a long time, or I say worked, I studied for a long time scripture, studied scripture for a long time, if I'm going to get it said right, without considering principle. I believe principle is very important today as we study scripture, because principle brings in the context of what Christ is teaching. So many times he taught in parables. And if you look at the parables, there's about always a principle. There is always a principle that he's trying to teach the disciples. So that is what a principle is this morning. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 18. We're going to be looking at a couple of verses. I'm going to do a lot of hopping this morning, so you're going to want to keep your Bibles handy. If you're using your phones, get those fingers ready to pop from one scripture to the other. So Matthew 18 here, we're just going to get a little bit of a picture of the body of Christ. I'm going to read verse 15 through 17. I've got listed 15 through 22, but we'll read 15 through 17. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." Not a Republican, a publican. Verse 17 there. So he's talking here about a believer. Thy brother, it says. That is a believer. So we look at a brother here as part of the body of Christ. Whether it's the greater part, here it looks more like a local body. So he's talking here about a brother, a believer. So there's a fault. Excuse me. And he says, go to him and talk to him. If he doesn't hear you, he says, there you are to go back with one or two others. If he still doesn't hear you, where does he go to? It says he goes to the church. So this is accountability. As we look at this, we realize that he's talking here about a body that is working together. He went by himself. Then he went with one or two others, and then he took it to the church. So we look at this and we see there's family. There's the brother. And then he says there's more family, one or two. And then he says the church, a connection to a larger body, which can be also a local body, which I believe is what he's talking about here. So he's really talking about accountability. So this scripture confirms that there is a functioning together as a church, as a body. There's accountability within the church. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. The first part of 1 Corinthians 12, here he's talking about the gifts that are given to us as believers. And each one of us, if you're a believer today, you have a gift or gifts that he has given to you. So that's the first part of this. We're going to begin in verse 12. And I'm going to read verse 12. And then we'll look at the rest of it. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So the question that came up to me as I was looking at this, who is this body that he's talking about here? If you do a little bit of digging here and just some paying some attention here, we find out that the body he's talking about in verse 12 is our human body. We are one complete piece in our human body. But we have many members. I have arms. I have feet. I have hands. If we continue down through here, and we're not going to read through this, but he continues down from verse 12 all the way down to verse 26. He talks about the human body, how we are made up, how all our members function together, and it makes us whole, it makes us complete. Let's go back to verse 12. He says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." There's a little phrase there at the end. He says, "So also is Christ." So also is the body of Christ, is what he's telling us. Just like the human body functions with our arms, our legs, our ears, our mouth, our eyes, so also is the body of Christ. Let's go back to verse 7. Now, we didn't cover this, but I want us to go back to verse 7 of the same chapter. He's talking here about the gifts. He says here, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." So the gifts that he has given us in the body are not for my own benefit. And he's talking here about the spiritual gifts that he's given. They are for the body of Christ. So together, we are the body of Christ. We have different gifts, but they are all to be used for the profit of the body. Not for myself, but for the profit of the body as a whole. It's what these, how these gifts are to be used. Verse 13, we kind of skipped over that one. I'm going to come back to verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit," this is right after he says, as the human body functions, so the body of Christ is to function, working together. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So we need to remember here, he's talking about the Gentiles coming in and being a part of the body of Christ. It didn't matter who they were here. It says they've all been made to drink into one Spirit, giving us a picture of also of our human body, how everything functions together, and then the spiritual body, how we are all made to drink into one Spirit. That word Spirit there is capital. We all have the same Holy Spirit for the body. Verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many." Now he's making a little bit of a transition there, and that can connect to the spiritual and the physical body there. That verse 14. Now, I'd like for us to go on to, actually, before we move on, I want to share a couple of verses with you that I felt like the Lord brought to me as I was digging through this. And these verses have to do with us as a body of Christ. And I like these verses to think about these verses as within Calvary Chapel here, within our body here. Ephesians 4, and this is in the NLT, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, says, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly." I can't do that, but Christ can. It says here that in verse 15, it says, "Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly." As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. If you miss everything I say today, please don't miss those verses. I challenge you to take those two verses, write them out in a translation that you can understand, put them in front of you for a couple of weeks, and allow the Lord to speak to you those verses. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. If I do my part, if I allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life with the spiritual gifts that He has given me, it says here in verse 16, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So if I do what I'm asked to do with the gifts God's given me in the body, it's going to bless those around me to where they will use their gift and they will grow. What is the result? It says so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We all want to see that, don't we? We want to see the body healthy. Think about our physical body. So if I sit down at the table and I have an arm with a hand attached on the end of this arm, and there's food right in front of me, if I don't use that arm and that hand to grab that spoon and to put food in my mouth, what's going to happen to my body eventually? It's going to die because it doesn't have nutrition. It will die. In the same way, I believe part of what He's telling us here, if God has given you a gift, you are to use that gift for the sake of the body, to keep us healthy, and growing, and full of love. Verse 27. We're going to move on now. Numbers 27 says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That verse that talks there, sorry I skipped ahead too far there. Ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So this members that he's talking about, members in particular, is the idea that we are included. You have an investment in the body of Christ. You have a share, a division, or you have ownership in the body of Christ. This scripture gives us as an example the picture of a physical body with many parts functioning as one body. This gives us understanding how the spiritual body is to function. There are different gifts, all meant to synchronize together for one purpose, for the benefit of the local body, resulting in spiritual growth. And I said, for the benefit of the local body, that also expands to the larger body. But it is there for the sake of benefiting. I'd like for us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're just going to page back a couple pages. I'm just going to state really quickly what was happening here in this scripture. There was sexual sin going on in chapter 5. There was fornication among them, it says. And I want us to notice in verse 1 and verse 2, he uses the phrase among you. So that tells me that there was a body, because it was happening among them. If we go down to verse 7, he says purge out. So it states here that there's, without us reading the whole complete text, it states there that there is a body, because he talks about among you. And he says, if this is happening within the body, you are to purge out. You are to remove. So this chapter gives us a picture that the church is a body, and it is a body that works together towards purity. That is our goal when it comes to purity, that work together with a goal of purity. If we continue in this chapter, which we're not going to do because we're going to move on to some more, he gives us some more ideas, some more ways to work with this specific situation in verse 9 through 13. But we're going to pass over that one for the time being.
I'd like for you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, he talks here about a flock. Verse 1 through 4 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." So he's talking here about the elders, the leaders of the church, feeding, caring for, shepherding the flock. How do we determine who is the flock in a local sense? In the bigger sense, a flock, as far as the picture of Christianity goes, the flock is God's sheep. It's very simple, I guess. The flock is God's sheep. Those who are walking with Him. Those that know Him. All of us have seen the picture of a flock of sheep with a shepherd there. And how the shepherd cares for his sheep. That's a picture of Jesus caring for us as His sheep. One of my favorite pictures is where He's walking. The shepherd is walking back and He's got the lamb over His shoulder. I love that picture. Because it gives me a picture of Jesus when I was straying, when I was going the wrong way, when I was in a place where I shouldn't have been, pursuing me, finding me, and carrying me back to the flock. That's a beautiful picture. I want to go down to verse 3. He says, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." So he's asking the local leaders to be examples. And I want to share something here, and I want us to know I'm not trying to be negative here, but it can look as a negative picture here. But somewhere along the way, we have looked at local membership as negative. Now, I'm going to be right up front. I have looked through Scripture. I have dug. I've read different articles on membership. I have called certain people and I've asked them questions. Where can I find membership in the Scriptures? And to be very honest, we don't find anywhere in the Scripture where it says, "Thou shalt be a member." It's not there. But remember what I said about, I'm trying to remember the word, principle. That's what I wanted. Remember what I said about principle. I think it's implied, even though it's not stated. So I'm not here this morning to say that you have to be a member of a church. But I am here to say that I think it's implied in Scripture. So I want to be very cautious with that. Somewhere along the way, we have made membership seem like a negative thing. And I looked at this verse, verse 3 there in 1 Peter 5. "Not as being lords over God's heritage." And he's talking here to the leaders. All of us have probably seen or been in a situation where you have felt like this is what the leaders have been doing. They've had you under their thumb and they're just pushing. Membership should never make you feel like you're fenced in and suppressed. That's not the idea of membership. It should never be used as a tool of suppression. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of the flock of Christ. We have had some amazing leaders in the past. I didn't ask Tom if I can pick on him or not. But when we came to join Calvary Chapel here, Tom and Harold never made Vonda and I feel less than we were. They invited us. Tom and Harold didn't come with the idea that you're going to be under our thumb. They didn't do that. They blessed us. I don't want us to think of membership as a tool of suppression. We have practiced membership here at Calvary Chapel, and a little bit the way I stated here a bit ago. But I just want to be honest this morning. There are churches that require membership in that style. There are churches that don't require membership in that style. And I can't cite any of the two in saying that's wrong. In the different scriptures we've referred to this morning, I see membership as a very positive step. Should it take place at baptism? Is there another place for membership to happen? I think it's really important that we realize we are at different stages in life. We have children that are growing up, that come to the place of accepting Jesus as their Savior. Some say that's not a good term, and I don't want to, maybe it's opening our hearts to Christ to come in. I think we know what we mean. But they come in and they're at a place of beginning their growth in Christ. Then there are those here that are very well versed in walking the Christian life. I believe it's for us to be very, very careful that we don't set something to where we force them into becoming members. Maybe it is for us to make it look understandable and exciting instead of a negative approach. Maybe membership isn't for the young that has just given their heart to Christ and they've been baptized, but there's a time of discipleship to help them understand, as a part of the kingdom, it is important to become a part of a local body, whether that's through formal membership or being a part of the body in attendance. I think we need to be careful. Go, if you would, to Matthew 28. Now, we use this scripture way at the beginning here. And I want us to look at a couple verses here and maybe I can help you understand what I got out of these verses as I looked at them a little bit deeper. So here we have Jesus talking to the disciples. And he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." By the way, this was prophesied earlier. Now Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Excuse me. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I want to look at three things in these verses. And the first one is, go ye. Go and teach. And as I dug into this and wanted to understand a little bit more of what he's trying to tell us here, what was he telling the disciples? He talks here about, go ye therefore and teach. He's talking about discipleship, making disciples. He's talking about, let other people hear about the good news. And I want to bring that down to us here today. We are to go and teach. It doesn't matter if it's right here at Calvary Chapel. It doesn't matter if it's across the world on the other side. He says, you are to go and teach. Now look at this as teaching about the gospel, which I stated here a little bit ago. Go is action. When we say go, we don't stay sitting on the sofa. We don't stay in our recliner. We get out and we go. He was asking the disciples here to go. He's asking us today to go. We are to go share Jesus with others. I think it's good for us to look back over our week this week. Did we go? Did we have opportunity somewhere to share Jesus and we missed it? God gave us another week. If we have this week and we have that opportunity, let's share Jesus. Is He important to us? Is it so deep in our hearts that we don't want to see those around us go to a lost eternity that we're willing to go, even if they look at us in a little bit of a strange way? Can we go? Can we share Jesus? I believe that's what He's saying here. Today we have social media, and you can find any kind of Christianity that you want. You can find anything that tickles your ear. But I want us to think about this. As we look at social media, there is a lot of deception out there. I can post what I believe. And if I'm deceived and I'm throwing that out there, I'll have followers. I will. But I challenge us this morning, let's not go to social media for what we believe. Let's go to the Word of God. We've got everything right here. Is it okay to go there and listen and to find out what others are seeing? Yeah, I think that's okay. But let's be very cautious that what we go to is Bible teaching. It comes out of the Word of God. Or else we're going to go and teach something that is not true. The second thing that He says here is baptized, and we talked about that in my last message. So a person who has accepted the gift of salvation is to be baptized. That's the next step after salvation. Then the third one that He talks about here is teaching them to observe. Now I want to throw something out for us to think about here. We have what we call instruction class. Not a wrong thing at all. So we have instruction class, and actually a lot of churches do this. They have a class, they call it a baptismal class, where they teach what it is. What is the true meaning behind baptism? Why are we doing what we're doing? I think that's good. I'm not at all talking negatively about instruction class. But we've seen over the years, and this is not just at Calvary Chapel, this is throughout churches, where we bring them to a place of baptism, and then we expect them to continue their growth and be successful in their Christian walk. What if this phrase that He's talking about here, teaching them to observe, is about discipleship? What if we were to take these new believers, and yes, we taught them about baptism, but then we took them through a long period of discipleship, walking alongside of them. And by the way, it doesn't have to be the preacher. Walking alongside of them, maybe it's meeting once a week, and helping them to understand, what is it to walk the Christian life? What do I do when I'm faced with temptation? How do I make good choices spiritually? How do I learn to hear the Holy Spirit? How do I love the brotherhood? That's discipleship. But there's a cost involved. It's going to take somebody's time. Are you willing? Are you willing to give time to walking alongside a new believer and helping them to understand, what is it to walk the Christian life? Am I excited about having a connection with the local body? However we look at membership. Am I excited to have a connection with the body right here today? Or am I doing my duty to show up on Sunday to be here? Now I want to ask you a question. Okay, this is kind of simple. I understand this. But let's imagine I handed out a t-shirt to each one of you who went out today. And on that t-shirt, it said, Calvary Chapel, my church. Would you be willing to wear that t-shirt? What if I handed a sign to you, one of these little signs that we stick in the yards, and it said, Calvary Chapel is my church? Would you be willing to stick that into your lawn right out by the road where everybody can see it? What if I met somebody and they asked me, where do you attend church? Would I be excited to say it's Calvary Chapel? And I'm going to bring this back home to Lynn, and you bring it back home to yourself. If it's not so, what can you do to change that? What can I do to change my picture of Calvary Chapel? I can't point to any one of you. It has to come back to me. You can't point at anybody else. It has to come back home. What can we do as a member of God's greater kingdom and a part of the body here to make it to where I'm excited to be a part of Calvary Chapel? It comes back home to each one of us. What am I doing to build up the body of Christ? Now, I'm not getting any funds for talking about this book this morning. I have a book here that's called I'm a Church Member. And again, however you want to look at church membership, this book will give you some really, really good ideas what it is to be a church member. I challenge you to buy this book and read it. It's by Tom Rainer. He doesn't hold back in stating that church membership is not like a golf membership. A golf membership, I go because I'm going to play golf and I'm going to get out there and enjoy myself. They are to serve me. Church membership is where we come and we serve. It's not about being served, but it's about serving those that I meet with. I want to read 6 points, and I'm not going to give you the answers to these. They're in the book. These are 6 intentional steps if you're a church member that he's got listed. Number one, I'm going to be a functioning church member. That looks to me like activity. That looks like I'm involved. I want to be part of this body. I want to be a functioning church member. I will be a unifying church member. Ouch. If Lynn is saying negative things about the brotherhood here, that's not unifying. I will be a unifying church member. I will not let my church be about my preferences or my desires. I will pray for my church leaders. I will lead my family to be healthy church members. And then the last one, I will treasure church membership as a gift. Some really, really good reading. It's not difficult to read. It's actually a pretty tiny book. You can get through it in 1 week. Maybe you want to listen to it. You can get it to listen to also. Thomas Rainer makes this statement. He says, God placed us in our churches to serve, to care for others, to pray for leaders, to learn, to teach, to give, and in some cases, to die for the sake of the gospel. So this morning, as I conclude, I want to give this as an encouragement. You're going to have opportunity as you go home today to discuss what you heard this morning. Can I encourage you to talk positive about your church family? Again, I haven't made a statement here whether church membership and baptism connect or not. I haven't made that statement. That's for the body to decide. That's how we've had it. We have a few times where we have baptized where there is not membership. So I'm not making a statement on that this morning. But I really believe as a church family, as a body here, if we're attending here, when we speak positive about each other. Mark has mentioned this morning the text. Thank you. There are those that send texts very regularly when we're preparing to preach. That is such a blessing. Somebody speaks positive into our lives. So I want to challenge you this morning. Speak positive into somebody's life here in this congregation this week. Either give them a call, send them a note. We have texting. Send them a text. Somehow let the body here know that you're thinking of them. That you love each other. Use your gifts that God has given you for the sake of the body. Remember what those verses said? Then we can grow, their gifts are used, and we can find health as a body here at Calvary Chapel. I'm going to close with a statement. I don't know if I have that up. Yeah, I do have it right down on the bottom there. Let's let love for God and each other be our highest goal this week. Love for God and for each other be our highest goal. Again, I challenge you to take those verses that I gave you and to look at them this week and allow them to minister to you. They have ministered to me. And I guess my desire is for each one of us to take those gifts that God has given us and to use them for the benefit of the body here at Calvary Chapel. We're all important. We're all needed. Everyone that's sitting here today and those that are absent, you're important in the body of Christ. But I don't believe that there's any place for us to become dormant. We have gifts. God has given us those gifts for the sake of the body of Christ. May God bless you today. Would you stand as we pray? And then I've asked Ernie to lead us in the chorus book. And Jay is going to lead this number 137 in the chorus book after we pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, again for your blessings to us this morning. Lord, we thank you for the church. I just pray your blessing on our body here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us as we relate to each other and to you. And I pray that we would be gracious with each other, Lord, as we have gifts that are differing. Father, that we would allow you to use our gifts to bless others so their gifts can also be used to bless the body. And we are healthy. We thank you so much for that encouragement. Lord, you know that we are human. We do make mistakes, and we're so thankful, Lord, for your grace, for your blessings to us, even though we are human. We thank you for the encouragement this morning, Lord, to be holy. Father, we can't do that on our own. We need you. We need your grace in our lives. I pray that you would direct each one of us here this week, that we would be focused on you. We don't really know, Lord, what this week holds, but we know that if you're there with us, we're going to be okay. Bless us as a body here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.